Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32, and then verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5. Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and before this section of scripture, he's talking about how we need to take off the old man, the old person, right, and put on the new in Jesus Christ. So it's like taking off a garment or a jacket or something like that. So if I do this, I'm taking this off, and this is my old sinful self, and I'm saying, I don't want any more to do with that. That's the old me before Jesus came into my life. And this is the new me in Jesus Christ by his grace. And so I need to now reflect the things that are found in that blackness over there in that jacket, right? The darkness of my sin and all the things that go with it. I have to let go of those things, right? So that is what God calls us to do as we look at these things here. And then Paul goes into great detail to tell us what we need to do. It's a wonderful means by which we can know how to live in this world as Christians, right? Do you feel that way too? That the Bible is a great gift that helps us to know how to live and how to live effectively, you know, from the message of the children and the kids did in the video, you know, and those Filipino children and the stuff that they're learning and things like that. We want to emulate that and do the same, you know, put this into our lives. And to be able to draw upon it to help each other. So let's begin. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, when Paul is talking about let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, it is not a free license to say whatever you feel about people. Okay, so let's be clear on that. That does not mean that you get to tell everybody the truth about them. It's talking about truth in the sense that thou shalt not lie. We're talking about truth that is found in Jesus Christ. We're not talking about telling a person the truth about themselves. And that's the first rule of thumb as we look at these things. I will not think of other people when I hear these things. I will apply it to myself first. Can we all agree with that? I will not apply the things that I'm reading here to people that I think need to hear this. Rather, I will take it as a word of God to moi, me first. And I will not go there when I read these things. I will apply it to myself and then let God speak to me and change me. What Paul is doing here is very interesting. He is mentioning this truth as the first part in drawing on Zechariah in the Old Testament. Right? He is a scholar in the entire Old Testament as a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jewish scholar of the Old Testament, and he practiced it to every inch of it. But when Jesus came into his life, his life was infused with grace instead of the law. But he still, and we still find truth and goodness in the Old Testament. And this is what it says in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. These are the things that you shall do. People were scattered. They were all messed up in their lives. They were fasting and making sacrifices that were really not from the heart to God. And so Zechariah told them this. These are the things that you should do in your society, in your Christian community there, in your Jewish community there. Number one, speak the truth to one another. So there it is. In Zechariah, in the Old Testament, we're learning that Paul is getting that from Zechariah. Speak the truth to one another. Number two, render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Make judgments in your kingdom, in your place, that are true and make for peace. Number three, do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. Number four, love no false oath. You hear all the truth in there? And the stress on truth? Nothing false, right? Something that is not evil, rather good and loving, right? Judgments that are true and make for peace. All these things I hate, God said. I hate these things that I've said here. I hate evil when you do evil and you devise evil in your hearts. I hate it when you make judgments that are not true and that are divisive, right? And I hate it when there are false oaths that are taken. When people say, I'm going to give this sacrifice to God and you know, praise God without really meaning it in my heart. That's a false oath. Right? So you have to be very open with God. If you want to be truthful with God about yourself and what's in your heart, and you'll be on safe ground. Notice the importance of truth in this passage. Young people, learn well the importance of telling the truth at all times. Thou shalt not lie is so important in every life. Learn to live with the consequences which come with telling the truth. And believe in the strength God will reward your life when you do. You know what I mean by that? When you're faced with a situation where you want to lie or you want to cover something that you've done, there's a risk involved. What is going to happen if I cheat on a test? What if I don't cheat on the test? Well, one thing that comes into mind is I'm not going to get a grade and my parents are going to say, how come you didn't get a good grade? Right? If you cheat on the test, it'll make you look good on the surface so that you can say, I got A's in all these classes. But inside, what is happening? There is untruth. You didn't do that. And so what you need to do is be prepared for the truth being greater than a lie. And the consequences that you face, be it by from your parents saying, how come you didn't get a better grade? Or how come when people don't see that you're getting straight A's or something like that, the consequence is better to take because it is the truth than to lie. Because the consequences of a lie are far greater in their impact, and they are evil in their impact. They will destroy society. There's a man named Joyce Baldwin. He said this about truth in Zechariah. Straightforward dealings and reliability are the foundation of a stable society. Straightforward dealings, truthful dealings, and reliability are the foundation of a stable society. Right? One of the biggest problems from my talking with college professors is that there's a lot of cheating going on. Don't do it. Learn good study habits. And if you don't do well, accept it and learn from your mistakes. But do not lie or cheat. It will spell disaster for you if you do. A Christian speaker one time was talking about this kind of a subject, and he said, I told my daughter, tell me the truth, be honest with me about what is going on in your life, right? I can deal with the truth, but there is nothing that I can do to help you if you lie. Truth is powerful, and you have to be able to go through that, and you have to be strong enough in God to realize that the truth is a far better path, and watch out because the Satan will tempt you to cheat. We need to grow in this, and we need to learn these things as human beings that are believing in God, that we do not belong to those who cheat. We tell the truth, and the way that we live, the way we take tests, the way we do life is in truth, and God will bless you for it. The next, in verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Three things. Be angry, right? So far, it's okay. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Okay, I want to give you an example of this, okay, just to give you a picture of it. You say to a person, they made you angry, and you say to the person, I'm angry with you because you did this. So far, the truth, right? You're angry. You've stated the truth. Is there any issue with it? No. This is the issue. The person is angry, but they state the truth. The sin comes in when a person says, I'm angry with you because you did this, and I hope I never see you again in my life. That is the sin. You can say, I'm angry with you because you did this to me. Then the conversation develops in truth. Then it is workable. But sin comes in when we insult people with the thoughts that we want to harm them. It's not enough to just say, I'm angry with you. I have to tell you also the way I feel about you and what I want to happen to you. And that's where we get into deep trouble. So be angry. Do not sin. Stop there. Keep it on the level of truth. Tell them, yes, I have this issue with what you've done. But I make mistakes too, so let's work this out. There is never a case where you can talk yourself into being sinful towards someone. It's understandable to God. That's why Jesus died on the cross, and he died for our sins so that we can confess our sins and we can make things right with another person, but it does not excuse sin. And so we have to grow. And believe me, God is telling us this not to condemn us, but to tell us that it's possible to do. You have to believe that. When you hear these things, God is not telling you so that you feel lousy about yourself. He is telling you this so that you can repent of your sins, grow in this, and in your character, and go out into the world as light and tell people how it's supposed to be done. And you can. Be kind. Be forgiving. Be tender-hearted. Face that terrible sin that is coming in at you and wanting you to say something or do something to someone and say, not today. That's the old me. This is the new me in Jesus Christ, and he forgave me of my sins, right? Give no opportunity to the devil, because the devil is waiting to take advantage of your life. Give no opportunity to the devil, verse 27. Verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. You see the pattern here of what Paul is doing for us in detailing the things that we need to do to be the new person in Christ Jesus, to imitate Christ. Let the thief no longer steal. Do not steal. Now, most of us are not going to go and steal something off the shelf at CVS. I hope not. Sometimes we do. But there's other ways of stealing, like telling lies and taking money from the government for things that you really didn't pay for on your income tax. Cutting corners close to make the budget work out so that you can fix those numbers so it comes in nice and clean. But what does it do? You'll talk to any accountant what it does when people lie or they cheat or they try to cover things up. It messes everything up in their accounting. It messes it up. Why? Because of sin. It's a sinfulness that comes in there, and it's driving people to do these things, and it throws off all the people that are working there. You can't do it. It will lead to your demise, right? Rather, labor. Work honestly with your hands. Do honest work. Say what you have done. Claim what you should claim. Don't listen to people when they say, everybody does that. It's one of the worst things that you can do in your life, children. If you do that, you will be in big trouble. Everybody's doing that. I'm going to do it. Don't do it. You can have victory in that area. You can say, everybody's doing it. But is that good for me? Become an independent thinker. Your colleges will be glad to accept you into their roster when you tell the truth. And believe me, they are looking for people like that. And your businesses and your mommies and daddies, and they will tell you that a boss is going to say, can I trust this person? Amen? Can I trust this person to work here? The way that they speak to people, the way that they interact with other people, are they fair? Are they going to be able to do their work? Or can they admit when they make a mistake? Or do they cover it up somehow and try to scoop it underneath the desk? You have to understand the importance of this, what God is saying to us. It's God who is behind all these great things that we have to learn here. It's a great opportunity, right? And what comes last? To help others who are in need. That is what life is about. Right? We're not working so that we can just have cars and wealth and all these different things. We are working so that we can help others in need. We have a purpose in life, and that is what God is giving to us. So speak the truth, be honest, don't lie, don't steal, do the things of God, and you are going to be giving people a great lesson in life on what it means to be a Christ follower. And you are going to go far. Believe me, you will go far. When people take notice that when they can trust someone, and when you're honest and they come up to you, you think about it. If you have a close friend, you can say stuff to that person. You know they're not going to go and blab everything that you said to somebody else and spread gossip. There's nothing that comes from that kind of a life. So seek the purity that finds itself in Christ. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. No corrupting talk out of your mouth, but only such as is good for what? For building up a person as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We are people who are going to speak in a way that is going to build people up, not tear them down. Have you ever been torn down by somebody? Did anybody ever light into you and just make you feel like dirt? Why would we ever want to do that to someone? Right? I've had that happen. Why would I want to do that to someone else? Right? Well, the reason is because I'm a sinner. But there's no excuse, because I know Jesus, and my old man is over there, and this is the new man, and I have changed. I'm a new creation. What am I created as? An imitation of Jesus Christ. I don't like cheating. I don't like untruth. And I'm going to tell people that. And I'm going to stand up for him. Jesus Christ. I'm going to say, this is a better way of doing things, everybody, right? So corrupting talk is really gossip, which tears people down, okay? I already shared that video with you about the children that effectively shows that. Our talk as new covenant people is emphasizing building up, not tearing down. So what? So that it will give grace to those who hear, and our talk will be loving and kind and affect the church in a positive way. And we have a responsibility to pay attention to these things to build up the church people. And churches have too often a reputation for something else. But we at Grace Church want to be known for grace talk. Amen? Talk that is filled with grace. I'm going to build you up. Can anybody ever do anything that is going to make us condemn them and tear them down? No, because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And because he's our Lord and Savior, we are not going to go there, because the old man is over there and this is the new me, and I am going to exercise Christ in these situations. Let all bitterness, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you act in those kind of ways. But friends, remember that we have been forgiven. And so there is great hope. And we say that each time we come here on Sunday, we receive that and we say it, we confess it. Our sins have been forgiven. So we can talk about these things in this kind of a way with joy in our hearts, knowing that we have been forgiven. And our Savior is teaching us how we can be even more filled with joy and let go of things that are really bothering him in us. Now, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. All of those things in succession sound like this barrage of awful things, right? So why do we want to do it? Wrath, bitterness, anger, clamor, slander, boom, boom, right? Why would we want to do all those terrible things? Be done with it. I want to read you a devotion that I read in Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. He puts it so well. Listen to what he says. Ephesians commands us to put away all anger. That does not mean that we cease to have strong convictions or lose our desire for justice. It does mean we refuse to allow the sins of others to cause us to sin. Anger does not bring about God's redemptive work. Far more often, it hinders what God is working to accomplish. So if you feel you have righteous anger because of something that has happened to you, See if you are holding anger in your heart without sin. And this is the list of things that he wants you to do. So pay attention to this, okay? It's very good. First of all, is your anger turning into bitterness? Remember, you have anger. You have a right to feel angry because someone has harmed you. They've done something. They said something to you, whatever. And you say, I'm angry. So far, so good. But now, is your anger turning into bitterness? Number two, is your anger causing you to speak in an unchristian manner to someone or to gossip about them? These are good questions to ask ourselves. Is your anger causing you, this is number three, is your anger causing you to make excuses for your own ungodly behavior? And the last one, is your anger preventing you from acting in a loving, redemptive, and Christ-like way towards someone? If this is so, you must examine any anger within you and allow God to remove any sinful attitudes that your anger may have produced. That's the only way. Examine your heart. This is foundational. King David, Psalm 51 teaching. Examine my heart, create in me a new heart, Lord, a clean heart. And what will happen when he does? I will witness to people about your greatness. Look carefully at these words of in Ephesians and see if there's any in any way one of them in you today as we take communion. Repent of them and ask God to forgive you, and he will. And then go and sin no more. Right? Let it go. Keep it. You've been forgiven. You've admitted to your sin. You put it away. It's gone. But don't let it happen if you can help it again. Through God's strength, you can do that. Seek to put on Christ and let go of things that are not Christ-like. God will give you help. If you've hurt someone by your anger, which led to sin, tell them that God convicted you of your sin and you want to ask their forgiveness and say that you're sorry. At that moment, you will be once again bringing about God's redemptive work in your life. Beginning it again, my life is a redemptive work of God that I am doing with him. Right? And contribute once again to what God is working to accomplish in your life. Contribute again to what God is working to accomplish in your life. And so we come to verse 32, the one that we had for the children's message. Be kind to one another. This is the new person. We've heard all the things that we're not to do that belong to the old person, the old man, the sinful man before Christ. Instead, be kind. When you see somebody down, don't push them down further or mock them out. Lift them up. Get into their life story. Find out what's going on with them. You seem kind of low today. What made you late for class today? I bet it was tough getting here. How are you doing? Tender-hearted. Love. That's what we're learning here with Jesus. Love people. They're going to do things wrong. We all do. But love them anyway and forgive them. They hurt you, forgive them. Oh man, there's just so much power in forgiveness. It's what the world needs, isn't it? You think about all the things, children, that you're seeing in society and you're disappointed with, and we all are concerned about you, and we know that you have concerns for all of the injustices and all the way that people treat one another. But here is the recipe for what the world needs and what we need to practice: kindness, tender-heartedness, forgiveness. But the most important thing is to say, because Jesus Christ has forgiven me. And that's where we get stuck. It's like, can we mention Jesus today? Is that going to make me like a fanatic? Is that going to rub people the wrong way? Because, you know, we're not supposed to like just have one God. We're supposed to just accept everything. Well, God is greater than you and all of your doubts. So try him. Try it out. Don't get caught up in your mind and feeling like, oh, you know what? This could happen and they could do this and I could say that and all these different things. Say the truth, man. If you think it's truth and you really believe it's truth, then just tell them the truth. You don't have to go much farther than that. You can say, I believe in Jesus. And he forgave my sins, and that's why I believe he's the answer for the world. And they may just not want to talk to you, but then there's a chance that they may just want to talk to you. Nicodemus searched for Jesus. Meanwhile, his Pharisee friends were all ready to condemn him and get rid of him. And Nicodemus said, Jesus, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself? And he found him in a place where he could talk to him alone, and he found the truth. And that's what we can do too. We can tell people, and maybe they'll come up to you later and say, hey, you know, can you tell me what you believe? I'm really interested. I know we're really in a hurry here today, so I'm going to stop there. But the last two verses are what we want to look at as we go into communion today. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be an imitator of God. If you don't know what that means, then you can read your Bible and find out. Right? And in verse 2, it says this, walk in love. It's been all through the service today. It was in the confession. Do you remember hearing that in the confession, that we would walk in the ways, in your ways, God, not my ways? Did you hear it in the songs that were sung today? Walk in love, walking with Jesus. Walk in love, but not just love like everybody knows love. It's defined as Christ loved us. As he, Christ, loved us, we are to walk in that love. And what kind of a love is that? He gave himself up for us. It's sacrificial love. It's the kind where you show someone that you are there for them and you love them and you are not going to give up on it. And man, it can be hard sometimes to love people like that, but do not give up, because love is the answer. And Jesus is the love that we need. And he teaches us how to do it. So do not give up on anyone. Amen? I don't care what they've done to you. I don't care if you feel like you have been wrong beyond all those things. God's love is greater, and he's going to take you through, and he can bring you into a great relationship with that person, because there's nothing that he can't do. So don't give up. Walk in love as Jesus loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The way he lived was pleasing to the Father. And that's what we want to do. Isn't that a wonderful way to think of yourself? God, make me a fragrant offering to you in the way that I think and I live. That's the kind of sacrifice he's looking for. He doesn't want our money. He doesn't want anything. He wants us. He wants us to be devoted to him. And so we're going to sing a song that reminds us of the kind of a love that Jesus showed to us.